the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's not possible to talk about the scripture that we have just prayed unless we refer to what has immediately preceded it. It's very important to understand that when we are spoken to by God through His Holy Bible, we are given pictures to look at. This kind of representation makes things clear for people who do not rely on vocabulary to understand. This is why we have icons. The icons are the books of the illiterate. You look, you see, you perceive, and more than that, you enter into. So, just preceding this, there was a master who was going to give a feast, and he called all manner of people to come. But one man said, "Well, I just bought a piece of land, and I have to see to it." Another one said, "Well, I just bought 3 yoke of oxen. I have to go see to them." Another man said, "Well, I just got married." Right? So the master of the feast, he sent his servant. And he said, "Go get anybody. Bring them to the feast." Right? So if you look at this, and you think about it in terms of what you already know about the method of your salvation, who is the servant but Jesus Christ? Remember, he denuded himself of all of his glory, so that he could be a servant to all. And so who is the master of the feast? God the Father, the Pantocrator. And what is the feast itself? It is that which we will partake of from the holy altar. All were called. Now, in the historical sense, we're talking about the Jews did not yield their love of history and tradition to the new preaching of this rabbi, that they, above all people, should have been able to have identified, if not from anything else, from the book of Isaiah. It's so clear. You follow it and you wonder, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? Well, what are they still thinking? What are they still thinking? And it's a terrible thing to contemplate that something that you love so much is going to blind you from the truth. But Jesus Christ here makes it even more clear. He says, "Look, if you prefer your wife to me, you cannot be my disciple. If you prefer your brothers and sisters to me, you cannot be my disciple. If you prefer your children to me, you cannot be my disciple." He makes it clear. So then we understand, who are the Jews? We are the continuation of the Jews' folly, because we do this over and over. I'm going to see my son on Tuesday. Haven't seen him in a while. Lives in Irvine now. He has a wonderful wife, but he's the same. And I'm going to tell him very clearly, if I have to choose between you and the truth, you're out of here. If you think that because I love you, which of course I love my son, but if you think that because of this love, I'm going to turn my back on what the Lord has said, or what more importantly expects from you personally, you're dead wrong. If you love your children more than you love Jesus Christ, then you do not love the truth, because what did he say about himself? "I am the truth, the way." Right? "I am the truth and I am the way." So watch. What did he say when he was challenged by the people who came to him as he was giving a lecture and say, "Oh, behold, your mother and your brethren are waiting for you"? He said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Who are they? They are the ones who do the will of God the Father. These are the ones that I'm close to. Flesh is flesh, and yet we all feel the pull of flesh. And we make choices every day, do we not? About, there's a football game on. I want to see the Patriots play. They're playing today, I think it's 1. But I'm not going to not come to church. But there are many who will. Now that may not be your team. And there's this kid who plays quarterback that has just turned the NFL on its ear. And I'm talking about the guy that plays at Baltimore. And what he did to the Rams was funny. What he did to... I mean, I'm telling you things because I want you to know that I follow this. And as I follow this, this bespeaks of my passion for it. And I'm not talking about you giving up something that is unimportant to you. I'm talking about you giving up something that you feel passionate about. Like, I love to do this. There's nothing I want but more. My son invited me and my daughter invited me for Thanksgiving dinner, right? But there were 3 football games on Thanksgiving and I sat in front of the TV and I wasn't bothered by family. I was watching 3 football games. That's 9 hours. What can you do for 9 hours? What is it that your passion is going to cause you to embrace for 9 hours? And say, gee, I wish I had a bit more. And if anybody saw that football game yesterday on TV where Alabama got theirs, you know? I mean, you didn't expect a 14th-ranked team to beat a 5th-ranked team. And yet Auburn did that to Alabama. I have passion for a great many things, but they are all subsumed into a single category when it comes to the juxtaposition of my faith and my obligations to Jesus Christ. That means that they are at best secondary or tertiary. I don't put anything before God. And this is what he's talking about. He's giving you some examples here. He's saying, what person is there that's going to build? And he's not going to see whether or not he has sufficient to complete the project. This, by the way, is one of the things that I'm hoping to live long enough to keep... to complete this project, this church. We have to put a second story on the building of services, and we have to buy this property over here to expand the needs that are going to inevitably grow for Sunday school so that we can have our own place to make bread so that we don't have to get it from any place else. I want to see this thing finished. And I beg the Lord to allow it to happen. Of course, he may look upon me the same way that he did Moses. God knows I have plenty of things that have upset the Lord, so it's not just taking his staff and knocking against a rock. So I may not get to go to the promised land. But I have this ambition. I have this passion and this supersedes all. Except for the 2 large icons that you see here in which other people participated, I purchased every single icon in the place. Every single one. Well, there's one small one is over the door right here that my wife purchased. You'll see it on the way out. It's Tobit and his wife and the Archangel Raphael. right over the door as you leave the church. As you enter the church, you see the cross. This is the first cross that was made by Stéphane René. And all of these things I love, and they would all be in my house. But then I simply started to think, well, where should I really, really be putting down roots? Everything that I have done is going to pass away. But the things that we do here are not going to pass away. They're going to be remembered. They're going to be in the DNA of those not yet born. These are things that we are going to pass along spiritually, and these are things that we are going to be proud of as time passes. And these are things that are going to distinguish us as a congregation from others. Even the way we say Psalms. This is important. But you see, what causes you to put aside your own passion? This is the key that will unlock the glory of all of God's ambitions for you. He has so much that he wants you to participate in, but you close yourself off. And when I say you, I always mean me too. What could I be doing that I'm not doing? What should I be doing that I am not doing? What have I chosen to do instead of this other thing? Has it given me, you know, I have seen games, I'm talking about football again. This is when I was a fan of the Raiders, when Al Davis was alive and running the show. And when Stabler was there and Biletnikoff. There's an award given every year for the best receivers, and it's named after Fred Biletnikoff, this guy on the Raiders. And they had a guy that was just a rocket named Cliff Branch. And, you know, I remember them being down 3 touchdowns with 10 minutes to go, and they won the game. But of the thousands, literally the thousands of hours, the tens of thousands of hours that I have spent watching football, I have had more mediocrity than excellence. Same thing with basketball. I could go on about that for quite a while. I loved sports so much. Yet how much better would I have been had I spent my time with the Psalms? Just that. If I'd have spent those thousands of hours with the Psalms. Well, I wouldn't be very good when it came to sharing in conversation with guys at a bar lifting up, you know, a tankard of beer. I wouldn't be much, you know, at a party that somebody was having a barbecue or something and people talking about the current events. It wouldn't have been very much fun for anybody to have listened to me, because I'd probably just open my mouth and start praying. What a shame. What a shame. You know, people would say if somebody starts praying in the midst, you know, you're a buzzkill. You're a buzzkill. Right? But what do you think that the Lord or the angels would have said? Look, I'm nearing the end of my life. I don't know when my life may end, but I'm nearing the end of my life. In January, I'll be 73. And just saying that number is something that's hard for me to understand. You know, I've made it 73 years. If you knew all of the funny business that I was involved in when I was a kid, you would not have expected me to have lived past my 20s. But here I am. I don't know how much longer the Lord is going to endure me, but I do know that it's easier now for me. not because I've lost passion, but it's like a guy who realizes that, you know, I've been enrolled in college for a while, and I've been going to class, and I've sort of been following the lectures, and but I really haven't cracked open the book. But you know, in 3 weeks, there's going to be a test. I better start to cram. And when you've used up 73 years, you think, how many more years are left to me? And my mother and father, they lived to 77. But they were longtime smokers from the time that they were teenagers. So that's my grandmothers both lived to their 90s. But the grandfathers again smoked, and that took care of them. So I may live, but then I think about all of the things that I partook of when I was young. Maybe there's some residual effect that I'm not going to be able to escape. And yeah. When I speak about these things, though, you shouldn't be sad for me, and I am not sad for myself, because it has always been my ambition to make it, whatever it was. You know, when I was an athlete, to make it, whatever it meant to be in an elite class, whatever it meant to be able to say that, you know, I can walk in to a place with my head held high. I used to tell you about that old joke where the professor would say, well, there are two A's that were on the final exam. And then I would say, who got the other one? And it would make everybody in the class angry. It was my favorite thing to do. Because I knew myself. I knew myself. And I know myself now more than I did when I was younger. Because I looked at a wide array of things, and all of these things drew me in. It's like when you think about, again, the symbol of the Jews in the scripture that just precedes what we have prayed. The Jew says, well, look at, I've got to go take care of this land. I just bought it. That's reasonable. That's reasonable. If escrow is just closed on your house, and they phone you up early in the morning, come, I'm going to give you the keys. You don't tell them, well, you know, I have to go to church first, so, you know, can you make it like 2 o'clock? No, you rush over there. That's what people do. Oh, I just bought 3 yoke of oxen. Ah, no, no, no. I say, hey, Isaiah, I just bought you a brand new car. So, what's the kid going to do? He's going to rush to get the car so he can drive the car to church. But he's going to get the car first. That's me. That's you. We're not different from the Jews in that. Our passions take us away. And here's the thing. He says to us, if you do not hate, and he doesn't mean to dispense with natural affection. He doesn't mean that. He means, if you do not love me more than, and then there's, you know, the list, father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and then the really, really difficult part, and your own life also. And your own life. What is it that you want to do that would take you away from the Lord? You have to hate that part of yourself. You know? At the end it says, as we have many times been victims of, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We all have ears, but not all of us hear. I hope you hear. I hope I hear first. I hope I hear and I bear fruit so that you can have confidence that what I have said this day is true. I hope that you can possibly in the future, if not now, see something in me that will lead you to the direction that I am now myself assiduously trying to follow. I hope you will make a choice in your life that is going to lead you down the good path and not the circuitous route that many people take trying to accomplish salvation, and in the process, many times, missing the mark. Hamartia, missing the mark. Help us, Lord. I pray for all those who are here, for my family. I pray for those who aren't here, and I pray for myself. Please let it be. And glory be to your name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.